Good morning. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. It's nice to see so many smiling faces this morning and everybody turned out in this cold weather. I'd like to welcome you to the warmth of this sanctuary. My name is Chris Pesky and I'm this morning's board representative for the church. We have a few announcements this morning. The middle schoolers will be going to Deer Park Buddhist Center in Oregon, Wisconsin, near Madison next Sunday, Sunday, January 24th, as they continue exploring neighboring faiths. The group will meet at Highway 83 and I-94 Park and Ride at 8:30. If you'd like to come along on this trip, please contact Carrie Duma, our religious director of religious education. And also a reminder that the Green Sanctuary Committee will have an informal meeting next Sunday. Further details are in your order of worship. Please see your order of worship for any further announcements. I invite you all to greet those sitting around you. If you are a visitor, we particularly welcome you this morning. Please sign the guest ledger on the visitor's table in the foyer. There's a variety of information available on the table about our church and Unitarian Universalism. Help yourself to any that interests you. I will be in the social hall afterward to answer any questions that you might have. Or if you are interested in information about becoming a member, I'd be happy to talk to you about that as well. If you are visiting us with your children, it is our custom for children to remain with us until after the offertory, at which time they will go to the religious education classes. Your child is welcome to join them or remain in the service. If you would like to go along to observe your child's class, please do so. The nursery is just out the doors here and across the foyer. If you have need for child care this morning. If there are any visitors who are comfortable introducing themselves this morning, now would be a good time so that we may warmly welcome you. Welcome. 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 Everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. The conversation corner is a good place to gather for further discussion about the service. Please put your cell phones on silence mode at this time. I hope you find this morning's service interesting and inspiring. Today's service is given by our own minister, Reverend Jane Espenson.
Good morning. May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to this community, and to each other. Let's join together in some words for the chalice lighting, and it says sung response actually in the order of service, but there isn't really a tune that goes with it, so let's just mentally have a tune. So, we gather this hour as people of faith with joys and sorrows, gifts and needs. We light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning in celebration of the life we share together.
Test the microphone. Can everybody hear me? All right. Okay, today we're going to read a story by Dr. Seuss. Some of you have probably heard this one before. It's about the Sneetches. And I actually have a couple props here. And five of you are going to start out by getting stars. Now, you're all very special, but the five people with stars, for purposes of this story, are extra special at the start of the story. So, Alex, can you give five people stars? Just choose five of them. Okay, can you guys tell who have the stars? Okay, everybody who has a star, raise their hand so we know who you are. Okay, those are the star-belly Sneetches at the start of our story. Now, the star-belly Sneetches had bellies with stars. The plain-belly Sneetches had none upon thars. Those stars weren't so big, they were really so small, you might think such a thing wouldn't matter at all. But because they had stars, all the star-belly Sneetches would brag. We're the best kind of Sneetches on the beaches. With their snoots in the air, they would sniff and they'd snort. We'll have nothing to do with the plain-belly sort. And whenever they met some, when they were out walking, they'd hike right on past them without even talking. When the star-belly children went out to play ball, could a plain belly get in the game? Not at all. You could only play if your bellies had stars, and the plain belly children had none upon thars. When the star-belly Sneetches had Frankfurter roasts, or picnics, or parties, or marshmallow toasts, they never invited the plain-belly Sneetches. They left them out cold in the dark of the beaches. They kept them away, never let them come near. And that's how they treated them year after year. So, how do you guys without stars feel? Very, very sad. Well, let's see what's going to happen here. Then, one day, it seems, while the plain-belly Sneetches were moping and doping alone on the beaches, just sitting there wishing their bellies had stars, a stranger zipped up in the strangest of cars. My friends, he announced in a voice clear and keen, my name is Sylvester McMonkey McBean, and I've heard of your troubles. I've heard you're unhappy, but I can fix that. I'm the fix-it-up chappy. I've come here to help you. I have what you need. And my prices are low, and I work at great speed, and my work is 100% guaranteed. Then quickly, Sylvester McMonkey McBean put together a very peculiar machine. And he said, you want stars like a star-belly Sneetch? My friends, you can have them for $3 each. Just pay me your money and hop right aboard. So they clambered inside. Then the big machine roared, and it clonked, and it bonked, and it jerked, and it burked, and it bopped them about. But the thing really worked. When the plain-belly Sneetches popped out, they had stars. They actually did. They had stars upon theirs. So, for those of you who now want a star, we've got the machine right here. All you have to do is come up, reach in, grab a star, he will now have a star. It's a very miraculous machine. Then they yelled at the ones who had stars at the start. We're exactly like you. You can't tell us apart. We're all just the same now, you snooty old smarties. And now we can go to your Frankfurter parties. Good grief, groaned the ones who had stars at the first. We're still the best sneetches. They are the worst. But now, how in the world will we know, they all frowned, if which kind is what, or the other way round? Then up came McBean with a very sly wink, and he said, things are not quite as bad as you think. So you don't know who's who? That's perfectly true. But come with me, friends. Do you know what I'll do? I'll make you again the best sneeches on beaches, and all it will cost you is $10 eaches. Belly stars are no longer in style, said McBean. What you need is a trip through my star off machine. This wondrous contraption will take off your stars, so you won't look like sneeches who have them on thars. And that handy machine, working very precisely, removed all the stars from their tummies quite nicely. So, stars are out. You should get rid of your stars. Go throw them back in the bucket. Quick, quick. Stars are out. Okay, so now it's best to have no star. Uh-oh. Then with snoots in the air, they paraded about. And they opened their beaks and they let out a shout. We know who is who. Now there isn't a doubt. The best kind of sneeches are sneeches without. So who doesn't have a star now? You guys are the best now. Then, of course, those with stars all got frightfully mad. To be wearing a star now was frightfully bad. Then, of course, old Sylvester McMonkey McBean invited them into his star-off machine. Then, of course, from then on, as you probably guessed, things got into a horrible mess. All the rest of that day, on those wild, screaming beaches, the fix-it-up chappie kept fixing up sneeches. Off again! Go get rid of your stars! Come get rid of stars! They're off! They're out! Everybody! All right. Oh, on again! Wait! Stars are in! Stars are in! You want to grab a star? Be careful. Oh, out again. They're in again. In again. You want a star now. Well, I guess you can just decide. You take a star if you want a star, and don't take one if you don't want one. Through the machines, they raced round and about again, changing their stars every minute or two. They kept paying money. They kept running through. Until neither the plane nor the star bellies knew whether this one was that one, or that one was this one, or which one was what one, or what one was who. Then, when every last cent of their money was spent, the fix-it-up chappie packed up, and he went. And he laughed as he drove in his car up the beach. They never will learn. No, you can't teach a sneech. But McBean was quite wrong, I'm quite happy to say, that the sneeches got really quite smart on that day. The day they decided that sneeches are sneeches, and no kind of sneech is the best on the beaches. That day, all the sneeches forgot about stars, and whether they had one or not upon thars.
Well, thank you for that great story. Now it's time to sing our first hymn of the morning, number 360. Here we are gathered, and please stand as you are able. It is time in the service for our offertory, so people will be coming around and passing the baskets.
Our reading this morning was written by Richard Gilbert. It's called We Bid You Welcome. We bid you welcome, who come with weary spirit seeking rest, who come with troubles that are too much with you, who come hurt and afraid. We bid you welcome, who come with hope in your heart, who come with anticipation in your step, who come proud and joyous. We bid you welcome who are seekers of a new faith, who come to probe and learn and explore. We bid you welcome who enter this hall as a homecoming, who have found here room for your spirit, who find in this people a family. Whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you are on your journey, we bid you welcome. And that brings us to our part of our service, a sacred part of our service, really our joys and concerns. And if you have a great joy or a deep concern you'd like to share, we'll have a microphone, and please tell us your name, and I'll light a candle. And before we do that, I'll light our memorial candle to commemorate all those people lost and involved in violence and wars, and again, as always, in search of a better way.
My name's Sue, and I have a great joy that my friend, or our friend, who a few weeks ago we thought had stage 4 either melanoma or kidney cancer, after a couple months of going through a lot of strife and they're trying to figure out what was going on, sounds like now it's the complications associated with celiac disease. So instead of wondering about how long he's going to live, he's wondering how much weed he can eat.
Hi, I'm Mary, and I've done concerns a lot here with my friend Eileen, who had brain surgery right before Christmas, and I just have a great joy that she's recovering well and has all of her language and is mostly just tired. So we're very, very happy she's recovering.
I'm Karen, and I have a joy, and a lot of you know Sheila Larkin, who has been a musician here in the past and had a stroke a year ago, and she this weekend moved back into her condo out in Lake Mills and is going to have some hired help and things, but she's back on her own, so that's a really good thing. The other joy is it's Laura's birthday today.
I'm so shy and humble, I'm sure everybody knows that. My name is Chris. I share a birthday with Laura. Can you guess who's the older?
A lot of joys today. I'm Terry, and thanks to Kathy, and I know Bruce and whoever else, I spent a lot of time last night looking at our awesome new website.
My name is Jessie, and I just wanted to share a joy that with this severe cold and wind chills and things we've been experiencing, we have spectacular ice canoes at the Nature Center where I work on Lake Michigan. So if you're looking for a fun winter activity, it's just mind-boggling how these form, and never seen them anywhere else in my life. So they're a pretty special thing to take in the winter.
Light one last candle for the joys and concerns that we keep in our hearts today.
I'd like us to take a moment to enter into prayer, reflection, and meditation. The prayer of our souls is a petition for persistence, not for the one good deed or single thought, but deed on deed and thought on thought, until day calling unto day shall make a life worth living.
May it be so. We'll now sing our centering hymn. It's number 89 in your hymnals. You remain seated for this. And it's Come My Way, My Truth, My Life. And we're going to have somebody sing the first verse for us first. And then we will sing all of the verses together.
If, recognizing the interdependence of all life, we strive to build community, the strength we gather will be our salvation. If you are black and I am white, it will not matter. If you are female and I am male, it will not matter. If you are older and I am younger, it will not matter. If you are progressive and I am conservative, it will not matter. If you are straight and I am gay, it will not matter. If we join spirits as brothers and sisters, the pain of our aloneness will be lessened. And that does matter. In this spirit, we build community and move toward restoration. That is titled A Litany of Restoration by Marjorie Bowens Wheatley.
The title of my talk today is Who's In and Who's Out? When I was trained as a chaplain, the first thing we were taught was this. If something happens three times, you're supposed to pay attention to it. So when at three separate times people here mentioned to me that they didn't feel as though they were truly welcome, I started to pay attention. And what I heard was interesting. and I began to hear these things more than three times, but multiple times over. I heard people say they felt unwelcome. I heard people say they felt they were too liberal. I heard people say they felt they were too conservative. I heard people say they felt they were too political. I heard people say they weren't political enough. I heard people say they felt unincluded, silenced, and unheard. I want you to know that I have heard you, and I want to talk about this. First of all, I want to say, from my experience working with other UU congregations, this is one of the healthiest congregations I have seen, for many reasons. One of which is that this congregation wants to be an open, inclusive, welcoming congregation, not just because it should, but because the founding members really felt the importance of creating a place where everyone was welcomed, needed, and wanted. The original founders wanted to create a place where like-minded folk could gather and talk, let down their guards, raise their children together, and form a community of loving and caring for themselves and for the community and the world at large. And this happened. And now this congregation has grown fast and well as a result of the original vision and the tangible things that were put into place to make that vision come true. But as with all institutions, religious or not, with growth comes growing pains. Couple that with the complexities of what it means to be human, expectations, past wounds, passions, personality types, keeping the status quo, and you have a breeding ground for misunderstandings, misperceptions, and power struggles, overt or not, all due to wanting to do what's right, the shoulds and should nots that muddy every society, large or small. And we find ourselves up to our knees in that very mud right now. Were it not for the sparing gift of winter and the frozen solid ground outside, that mud is frozen. We can't get it up to our toes, much less up to our knees. We are being given a chance right now in the cold, clear air of January to speak with honesty and compassion and courage, to address these hurts and sorrows, these fears and concerns, and to make amends, or to just clear the air by naming these things and moving forward, vowing to do it better. So let's begin. There is not some moment in life where any of us, at one time or another, hasn't felt we were misunderstood, left out, alone, or just plain different from everyone else around us. Thus, one of the reasons for the desire to create this church, right? Well, the creation of a place where we can all just be does not miraculously, even in a church where miracles happen routinely, happen. Because that darn thing called human nature rears its head and starts to create trouble. 'Twas ever thus. Think of the Sneetches story. That story began with a group of Sneetches on the beaches having weenie roasts and so on, with another group of Sneetches sitting on the sidelines feeling left out. Well, the story we read began there, but that doesn't mean that that was the very beginning of the creation of the Sneetch colony. No, those beaches were probably there for a long, long time. Empty, with nary a scuttling bug joggeting along its shores. And then one day, a group of Sneetches arrived, out exploring the wider world. They looked around, thought it looked like a nice place, and decided to stay. They were really a nice group of Sneetches, and they had these lovely little stars upon their chests, which they didn't used to have in the very beginning, but which they acquired over time. Not as an evolutionary act, but as something they themselves created.
You see, as they got to know each other and did things together and enjoyed each other's company and had so much in common, they thought, hey, we should have something that we wear when we get together to show that we're a community of like-minded folk. And so they came up with the star idea, since it seemed so central to their theme, which had to do with being one with nature, with the universe. And because each point of the star reflected their various viewpoints, different but together, making one thing which shone out into the world. These Sneetches were very pleased with this idea and loved being together and loved wearing these stars. And they were very happy and positive, and they did things together, and they cared about one another, and they cared about the wider world, and life was good. Well, you know how things radiate out and cause the ripple effect unbeknownst to us. That is just what happened to this little group of Sneetches. Their group became known somehow. Who knows how that really works? And gradually, ever so gradually, other Sneetches discovered the little star Sneetch colony and joined in with them. And the original star Sneetches were delighted with this, and these new joiners were also given stars to wear upon theirs. And the love and the sense of community just continued to grow and grow, and social events continued to take place, those weenie roasts, for example. And the little star Sneetch children grew up together and became fast friends, and everyone was still happy. And then two things happened kind of simultaneously and a bit unexpectedly. Because of the success of the star Sneetch colony, it grew to double its size in a relatively short period of time. And suddenly, the original group of Sneetches felt that they were losing that cozy, intimate family feeling. Gosh, they used to know everyone's names, and now they looked around and saw that there were so many they didn't know. And as happy as they were about attracting other fine Sneetches to their colony, at the same time it felt a little stressful, and they longed for their smallness again, for that intimacy. And so sometimes the original star Sneetches would just do things together without asking the newer star Sneetches to join in. They didn't do this to be mean or exclusionary, not at all. They just sometimes wanted to have back that feeling they had in the beginning. But sadly, and unbeknownst to the original star Sneetches, some of these newer star Sneetches felt left out. And worse, some felt snubbed, purposely not invited, not chosen, not wanted, not loved. And that was really hurtful and sad and felt awful to these particular star Sneetches, and they were troubled by this. They hadn't expected that that would be the case. Wasn't the theme of the star Sneetch colony one for all and all for one? They had thought so. They had loved that theme and had so looked forward to being one with all. But now this, they were being left out, and they wanted to be in. And since they had assumed that they already were in, it felt shocking to find that they were out. And the original star Sneetches had no idea that this was happening. They were very happy that they had attracted new Sneetches to their colony. They imagined all the things that a colony of such forward-moving, progressive, thoughtful, well-intentioned Sneetches could do out there in the wide world. They looked forward to getting to know the new star Sneetches and thought they were doing everything possible to welcome them in. But there in the innocent weenie roasting air that surrounded the original star Sneetches on their very occasional private gatherings, a sense of separation and otherness was creeping in, slowly, slowly, slowly. And the hurt Sneetches started talking amongst themselves about how left out and unwanted they felt. And those conversations got stronger and stronger, and as is the way with all things, those conversations started to grow from simple, private, sensitive sharing of hurts with each other into bigger, stronger, more overt conversations about how left out they felt. And, oh, they looked around and could really see evidence of overt left-outness. They saw evidence of it everywhere, even when there wasn't any evidence at all that this was the case. even when the original star snitches did invite and did want to engage in a coming together, the now very hurt newer star snitches didn't trust the gesture and couldn't accept it. And so now, even though they were being recognized as being in, they now saw themselves as being out, and that's where they stayed. Such a sad tale. The other thing that happened at the same time during what I will call the great period of growth was that some newer snitches who found the group really liked it, really saw, liked what they saw, but because of various reasons only they knew, past negative experience with other snitch colonies perhaps, not sure they wanted to commit to this neck of the woods, not sure what belonging to a snitch colony actually meant, or just simply enjoying being independent snitches. When welcomed in by the star snitches and offered the opportunity to wear a star, these snitches said, well, no, thank you. They said it very kindly and thoughtfully. They said it for their own personal reasons. They still came to the majority of the star snitch happenings, joined in on, say, the clean the beach all day potluck events, or took part in the annual hithers and thithers ball-kicking matches and such. They just weren't sure they wanted to wear a star yet. Well, now it was the star snitch's turn to feel hurt, snubbed, unwanted, unloved. New snitches in the past had always wanted to wear a star, to join in and belong, and yet here was a distinct cluster of snitches who were in their midst getting involved, who seemed very nice, but they didn't want to wear a star like everyone else was doing. Why? What did they have against the star snitches that they didn't want to wear a star? They were involved but didn't want to belong? The star snitches felt hurt by this, confused and troubled. They didn't understand it at all. But the star snitches didn't talk about it. They didn't ask why directly. They were, after all, a kind and thoughtful, respectful and sensitive group of snitches, and they just wanted to leave well enough alone. But still they were bothered by it. And so when the star snitches went on their weenie roasts, they just walked past the unstarred snitches because they didn't think they wanted to join them for those, since they hadn't wanted to wear stars. And the unstarred snitches, seeing the starred snitches walk past, felt hurt at not being invited to the weenie roast. They didn't understand why. You see how easy it is for misunderstandings to take place? Both the star and the unstarred snitches were hurt, each thinking the other didn't want to be together. Oh, the sadness of it all. Well, what happened then, and this next part I have to tell you was not premeditated, it just happened as things will happen over time, was that as the colony was growing, there needed to be more structure added to it so that it would be less wieldy, more practical, more efficient. Some snitches liked this idea, and others not. One of the ways of structure that got implemented was something called modes of communication. And this took various forms. Smoke signals, which only worked on clear, windless days. And who could be sure people would be looking up at the sky at exactly the right moment to get the message being sent? And worse, would the messages being sent get heeded or passed along to others, or just given a passing glance as the snitches went about their various daily lives? The snitches in the colony were being told by the communication chieftains that these messages were important and that they must make time to glance up at the sky every so often and read the smoke signals. But alas, many didn't, and much important information was missed. So another mode of communication was added, and this was much more immediate and came into just about, and that's another strain of the story, just about every snitch house by means of electrical current. Quite revolutionary. And this was seen as terrific and a breakthrough because a snitch could examine the tracings of the electrical current whenever they had the time, see the message given, respond or not, and move along with their lives. efficient, practical, perfect. But what happened was that this mode of communication was so effortless, both to give and to receive, that the sending and the receiving and the receiving and the sending got busier and busier and crazier and crazier, and pretty soon the sneetches were feeling a bit overwhelmed by all the information that was being transferred. Well, that part is true. But what's not entirely true is that not all the sneetches were feeling overwhelmed, because not all of the sneetches were being sent these electrical currents of information. No, only the star sneetches got these. Again, this wasn't in order to preclude the unstarred sneetches from having information on what was happening in the colony, but it was just another practical decision. The practical decision was this: if a sneetch wanted to really become a part of the colony, then they would wear a star. And if they didn't want to wear a star, that was fine, but then that indicated a lack of interest in being a part of the colony, and therefore, one must assume, a lack of interest in the things that went on in the colony, or else they'd be wearing a star, and so on and so forth. You can see the cycle of logic here, can't you? Unfortunately, the unstarred sneetches, who felt fully committed to the sneetch colony in all ways, felt left out once again from a colony they felt they were in. And that's when McMonkey McBean showed up with his machine and asked for money, so that those without stars could get some and become a part of the weenie roast, etc. But then the original star sneetches felt miffed, and McBean took advantage of their hurt and pain and asked for more money so that the original star sneetches could have their stars taken off. And then everyone got hurt and miffed and starred and unstarred, and the original vision of the entire colony got turned inside out entirely, simply because of misunderstandings. McBean finally left, laughing at the silliness of the sneetches who believed that you all had to be the same in order to be in. And that may have been how things ended up, with nobody feeling in, but with everybody feeling out, if somehow wisdom from the ages hadn't somehow caught hold in the minds and the hearts of all the sneetches, starred and unstarred, as they stood there on that beach that day, breathless from all the scrambling up and down and in and out of the star machines. They looked at each other, and they saw a community. They saw their original vision right there in front of their eyes. They saw sneetches of all shapes and sizes, of all ilks and matter, starred and unstarred alike, and they were of one thing, a community, and they were all in. I once worked for a man who said that perception is reality. That statement used to make me crazy. It was such a preposterous statement, because perception is perception and reality is reality. I used to argue with him about this. But in telling this story, I think that that's just what I'm getting at here. Perception is reality. It's not about what was intended that matters, or the reasons behind something that is paramount. It is how something is perceived that is at the heart of things. For one's perceptions, right or wrong, is their truth. So I'm asking you today to understand that you are all in. No one is out. And if you feel that you are, I hope you will be courageous enough, honest enough to talk about it with those who can perhaps see things from a different vantage point, and help you see that you are indeed in. And if you are one of those who feel that you are in, I hope you do not assume that everyone else feels that they are just by dint of being here, but that some may need just that one extra invitation, that one extra handshake or hug, that one extra moment to just sit and talk so that they feel needed and wanted and loved. For isn't that what this wonderfully diverse church is all about?
An island, no one stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me, each woman's grief is my own. We need one another, so I will defend each man as my brother, each woman as my friend. I saw the people gather, I heard the music start, the song that they were singing is singing in my heart. No one is an island, no one stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me, each woman's grief is my own. We need one another, so I will defend each woman as my sister, each man as my friend. No one is an island, no one stands alone.
Well, this is your opportunity to speak if you would like to. This is our polylog moment. Yes? Yeah.
Hi, my name's Janica. I've been a member for quite some time. Recently, because of my work schedule, I've had to work on weekends, so I was a little anxious before I walked into church today because I hadn't been here in a while. And I was walking in the front door and typically dropping things, and finally got in the front door, and I was greeted by Helen Barra, who gave me a huge hug, and away went all the anxiety, and that's why I like this church.
Hi, my name is Robin, and I want to tell you about a interesting political meeting I went to yesterday. Jerry was there, too. I won't say which party we're working for, but it was standing room only, and we had very great discussions, and I think we've gotten a whole lot of candidates lined up, and the person who was really instrumental in getting this all together did a fabulous job. But he had called me a few days before, and he was telling me how he really thought that if we could get his particular religion into this whole thing, how it would draw us all together, and how it would be a much better political action. But I kept telling him all my UU ideas, and we had a pretty good discussion. So he didn't mention religion yesterday, and I hope he doesn't anymore, too.
Hi. I remember when I first started coming, I wasn't comfortable, and I felt like the odd man out because I was a single mother, and when I looked around, I saw families. I saw loving couples and their children, and everyone was together, and I just felt unwanted. And it occurred to me after a while and a little soul searching that this was my issue. And a lot of times, like you said, it is your personal issues. I felt a failure over, you know, relationships that fell apart, and here I got these kids and I'm alone, and it was my own issues. And once I let go of that and just decided I was going to be a part of it and get out of my head, I felt welcome, and it was, you know, perception is reality. And then when an unimaginable tragedy occurred in my life, I really saw how apart I was, how everyone closed in around me and helped me up and helped us through what happened. So if you can let go of what's going on in your head, you can feel a part of anything.
I'm Larry. Although I've been part of this community of SNCCs for about 12, 14 years, I definitely have not worn a star. And but I keep coming back because we're all SNCCs, and as long as I can separate out that fact from these more superficial stuff, then things work well.
Hi there, I'm Kathy. I appreciate what you said, but there are a few things that just niggle in my mind having to do with your alluding to the email list, and that is from sending out the newsletter via email. We started a few months ago sending it also to guests who have requested receiving it via email, which is sort of nice because then I don't have to stamp and fold and mail out paper copies to people. But I also have received emails back from some visitors saying, take me off your list. I found another church I like better. And I worry about that to some extent. I'm not convinced that visitors, occasional visitors, I'm not talking about the longstanding friends who are in our directory and all of that, but I worry about the member list and the open mic list being sent to people who have moved on elsewhere who don't have a commitment to our church, who may have decided they actually, after having signed up, don't really even like our church, and who, you know, maybe just never bothered to email back to me like some have done, you know, take me off your list, I'm no longer interested. So I think there's some thought that needs to go into how we deal with the issue of our email communication.
I'd like to respond to that since... It wasn't just the email list. It's really the membership, the email membership list, because as far as I understand it, friends are not on that membership list. And so the things that go on in the church, if there are emails that go about like reminders of things that are going on in the SNCC colony, that the unstarred SNCCs are not getting that same information. Even though they're here and they're a part of this whole group, they're still not getting that information. So that's a concern, and it has been voiced as a concern to me. So it's not just my own concern out there in the air. It has actually been voiced to me by the unstarred SNCCs. The other thing is that I think instead of one way to think about this is maybe instead of worrying that somebody is getting information that they no longer want, you don't need to read people's minds and wonder whether they're getting information they don't want. If they don't want it, they can let you know that they no longer want that. But I think I would prefer to err on the side of giving people the information and err on that side of information being given than supposing that maybe people don't want it and kind of being a little protective of that. And I don't know that's necessarily how you're thinking about it, but this has been an ongoing conversation here, and so I've been thinking a lot about it myself.
I'm Jerry, and I have an adjunct to Jane's great story about the sneetches on the beaches. Unfortunately, the beaches don't maintain themselves, but they require the sneetches to bring buckets of sand to replenish the sand that washes away. And traditionally, when people make a commitment to bring a bucket of sand, there's a couple of buckets of sand every month or so, then they take a star. Also, there's the great beach master in faraway Boston that keeps track of all of the beaches in the country. And the beach master in Boston counts the number of stars on each of the beaches and expects each of these beaches to send a certain particular number of buckets of sand per year based on the number of stars. So there's more to having the stars on the beaches than just being snobs.
Well, this is true, that the people who have said they want to wear stars do need to bring their buckets of sand. But the people who are, the sneetches who are unstarred don't necessarily need to bring buckets of sand. They can bring starfish and snail shells and clam shells and other little sticks and twigs and pebbles. And yet they're still contributing to the look and the feeling of that beautiful beach that the star sneetches have originally created. They're just not ready for those buckets of sand quite yet, for whatever reason.
Jane? Hello, I'm back here in the back. Mike? Hi. I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed your sermon, and I was going to tell you this after the service, but I wanted to get the microphone and say it in front of everybody that I've heard few people preach who are as polished as you are, and I think you're a great writer, too. So I want to thank you for your message.
Well, thank you, Dr. Seuss.
This is Robin again, and I just wanted to add a little note that Dr. Seuss was the Unitarian Universalist.
We'll have to give him a star for that.
Hi, I'm John Neil Thompson. My wife and I have been coming since last year, but I'm oddly nervous speaking in front of a lot of people, so it's not because I feel nervous in the congregation at all or excluded or any way like that, but this has been really interesting because I sometimes feel sort of self-separated. Just because I don't feel like I'm able to give as much time as I'd like to the church. I really respect what's going on here a lot, and I think it's an amazing thing, and so I try to support it however I can. But, my wife and I don't, we're students, and so we don't give a whole lot, and also, we don't have a whole lot of time, and I'm not really all that great at time management either, so I'm even worse at giving time, and I try. But it's interesting, the discussion this morning about bringing sand and all that stuff, and I think it's interesting to think about that some people may not be as able to bring sand as other people and at this point in their lives or ever maybe, and maybe that's okay, and I know this is a congregation that thinks that way, and the pressure should be on people to support the church however they can with effort and or money or whatever, but when we talk about that, sometimes there's also a perception that if you don't, you're going to be seen as not contributing. And I think that's dangerous, but also in the mind of the person who's listening too. So it's just, I mean, I think everyone in this church believes in having a community that supports everyone regardless of their ability to support the church. And so it's a tricky tightrope to walk, but anyway.
Thank you for saying that. That's exactly what I was getting at. And you are in, John Neal.
We've been coming as friends, I guess, for about a year, since January. And church and religion has not been part of our family life for the 13 years we have had children, and the 20 years that we've been married. We're, you know, primarily agnostic and are very much respect the ideals of this church and very much appreciate all the information and opportunities that come our way. But sometimes our ability to, you know, dip our toe in as opposed to drinking from a huge river, and this sometimes feels like a huge river. Like if it's a one-hour commitment, no, it's a two-hour commitment, or it's a four-hour commitment. And we have many family things that we already are committed to. So being able to kind of participate and, I guess, throttle that participation at a level that we feel comfortable with when this is very new for us to be involved in a religion, and a little scary, especially the idea of a star being put on me. Not comfortable with that at all. Not comfortable with doctrine at all, or saying I am a UU. That is a very difficult thing for me to think about saying. So you can call that kind of my own issues or not, but I don't want that to be misconstrued in some kind of way that means I don't like the community or I don't want to be part of the community just because I'm not comfortable declaring myself as a religious person or part of a religion.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you explaining that. And this is a welcoming congregation. They voted on that for a particular group of people. But I want you to know that this is truly a welcoming congregation, and you all are welcome. And just to keep like saying what you're saying, that's that honesty I want to hear, is that people just explain what it is, and then we all hear it. And we're all in the same boat. I mean, I think that each one of us feels something some way or the other here.
I'm Susan Taylor, and I just want to say that, I'm a member here, but I really don't consider myself a star. We as a couple have taken a lot of hits over the last 10 years, and they haven't been evident to a lot of people, and because of that, I feel we've isolated ourselves, and I know I have, because it's just overwhelming. So I'm just going to throw it out there that I would really like a random act of kindness to help me balance out all of the negative things that have happened and bring me back into humankind as a good place.
I'm Sonia, and I just wanted to add, we heard from a couple of the newer people in non-starred sneeches, and I... not a founding member or original, I would definitely say I'm a starred sneech from the before we moved here. And I would like to mirror some of the issues that some of the newer people are mentioning, because I think that this congregation does expect a lot, and I've given a lot over time, but when someone backs off, it very much is easy to feel like you're not part, because expectations are pretty high to do. And those that are busy, those that maybe work full-time, those that have a lot going on, it can be easy on both sides, even those that have been here a long time.
And those are not new concerns. That is very typical for a small congregation, and it's interesting, the perception thing, because some people feel this is a small congregation and some people feel it's a big congregation. But it's a growing congregation, and these are growing pains, everything that's being articulated here. So just sort of stick with it.
I'm Yvonne. I'm starred. and I've, I've been a member and on the membership committee for a long, long time. And about that, I'd like to say, I think everybody comes here, A, with their personality, and B, their own issues and expectations of this congregation. And I've seen the most people who whose personality is to jump in, I think, feel welcome much sooner. And I think we each bring our personalities, and we have to deal with that in relationship to a group. And I don't think, I mean, the group is made up of individuals, so the group isn't either friendly or unfriendly. The group isn't anything. The group is made up of individuals. And the second part is, I would mirror Sonia's and many people's expectations that, gosh, you get asked so much. If you're a member, you get asked all the time, and there's this sense of, if I'm not participating, I'm not welcome and all that. Again, a personal issue. But secondly, the image of we're in this boat together, and my hope and perception is that we take turns rowing the boat, but somebody has to row it. It doesn't just shift by itself. And so that when you ask people to step up to the plate and, oh, it's the, oh, I want to be on that committee, but I don't want to be a chair, you know, where does that leave us in terms of steering our boat or even propelling our boat?
That's true, but now we've been creative and we don't call it chairing a committee. We call it, what do we say, delegating. The person who gets to delegate and to share the information and just be the go-to person. That's what we came up with, is the go-to person. And when we change it to go-to person versus chair, lots of people say, well, I could be that. So it was very good. Language is great, you know?
Can I talk?
Oh, sure. Oh, well, that's good.
Just like that. Okay. I wanted to follow after Mary spoke, not Yvonne. But I just wanted to add my little experience, which is just so absolutely idiosyncratic, but I realized I started, well, I feel very comfortable here in my own little, my, like, galaxy of the stars, but anyway, the other day, I was hanging out at my computer, and I was messing around on Facebook, and I was looking at my information, and I didn't have anything under my religious views, and so I decided to go for it, and my husband was backseat driving, and I wrote down, you, Jew, boo. And Keith looks over my shoulder and he says, well, shouldn't it be J-U-U-U-B-U, like the Jew? You were Jewish before you were U-U. And I actually got into this discussion that I like, but you can't tell if it's U-U-Jew, if it's J-U-U-U, there's too many U's. And it was just so absolutely silly. But the important part for me was, I wrote down you, Jew, boo, and I'm sure there's more dots after that. And I'm here to just add a few grains of sand. And thanks.
Great. You know, there's a saying, it goes, oh, you. So it all works. There is no such thing as too many yous. I just want you to know that. We'll take one more, and then we need to finish up the service.
Hi, I'm Lori. If Yvonne has starred, I think I have a big star. And I almost never got a star. It's interesting how things happen, because some people want to be welcomed, and some people want to come in and just lurk for a while. And our story is that Tom and I wanted to lurk at a church for a while. And darn it, the first time we visited, there was a couple who nearly cornered us, literally. who are you? Why are you here? And we hope you'll come back. We hope you'll do this, and we hope you'll do that. And no, don't worry about your kids. They're fine, because we had dropped off the kids who were then very small. And it was, we almost didn't go back. On the other hand, some people do want that kind of welcome, and it's really hard. It's really hard to know, and so I give a big hand to the folks who are greeters and welcomers, who walk that fine line and read the body language. And it's really, really interesting how this group has grown. I don't know. I don't know what my star status is here right now. I'm a member, but I'm sort of in and sort of out. And it's been like that. So some of us, even though we have stars, some of us who have big stars or many stars, and some of us who don't, still exist in a kind of in-between place. And that's life.
This is Janica one more time. I was listening with interest to what Yvonne said, and it's true that groups have their own personalities, and everybody within the group comes with their own personality. I've found in working environments that what is key, though, is the groups can't, all the people in the groups can't function effectively on their own. And what I value about today and your sermon is that you've given us the leadership that we needed to discuss what kind of sneetches we are. And that, to me, is invaluable in a group situation. We need leaders. You know, we need someone with compassion and understanding and the ability to speak openly to know, you know, which part of the beach is ours. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Please join now in singing the last hymn of the day, number 346, Come Sing a Song for Me, and I would invite you all to stand if you are so able. Is often hard, the path is never clear, and the stakes are very high. Take courage, for deep down there is another truth. You are not alone. Go in peace.